Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. Owners meetings going on in Orlando. Kevin Stefanski talking about rooms like crazy. Stuff going on. You really want to know what's going on? Listen to our next guest and go read his piece that's on brownzone.com right now. Brown's having solid off season so far, but still work to do. He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. From the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, he is Scott Petrak, or his alter ego, Score Pertak, as we dubbed it last week. Hello, Scott Score. How are you?
Hey, Scotty.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are well. I like your story. Browns having solid off season so far, but still work to do. Something jump out at you in particular with that?
You know what? I mean, I think Andrew Bear is in a good spot heading into free agency because I think it's 18 of 22 starters on offensive defense are under contract or were under contract for 2024. So there wasn't a ton of heavy lifting to do, but then he brought back Za'Darius Smith, which I thought was huge. He addressed receiver with Jerry Jeudy. And I think that was a solid move. I think it was a no brainer to make that trade. We can argue about whether it was wise to extend him right away without seeing him practice or play for you. I know why they did it, and it's, you know, you're trying to get him at a good price. And, you know, if you assume he's going to play well because you like his talent, you think you're going to help develop him. Amari Cooper's going to help. And then you've locked him in at a good deal for starting caliber receiver. So I understand that, but I think there's risk involved with the extension. But overall, I think it's a good move having Jerry Jeudy here. You added depth at defensive tackle. So I think they hit, you know, linebacker. They think they got better at linebacker with Jordan Hicks and then, you know, taking a flyer on Devin Bush. But, you know, there's still work to be done. And that's, I think they need a second tight end behind David Njoku. You know, I think another D tackle, probably not a free agent D tackle, but maybe spend number 54 on a D tackle and get some youth there and have a chance for another difference maker on that front four of Jim Schwartz. So those are the kind of things that jump out at me right now.
All right, you got to help me. I just don't understand. Cade York, help me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to let him go to begin with. Number one, because they drafted him higher than a lot of people draft a kicker, right? So I think it was a difficult decision for Andrew Barron and company to cut Cade York last year, but they had no choice, right? We saw what happened in the preseason. You could not go into last year with the Super Bowl aspirations and have any confidence and faith that Cade York was going to make a kick when it counted, right? We saw how awful he was in that preseason. So it was hard for them to cut him. When they cut him, they wanted him back on the practice squad. Cade York's got a lot of pride in him and did not want to come back here last year, chose to go to Tennessee, bounced around to Giants, got hurt, finished the year on IR. And I don't know what the sales pitch was. I don't know. You know, I would assume Cade York would have another team to go to in the offseason, right? Every team has two kickers in the offseason. You know, he's got a huge leg. I think he's still got a bunch of confidence in himself. You know, there's plenty of kickers that struggle and then have outstanding careers, right? We've seen it time and time again. So I don't know if Cade York thought, hey, he looked around a little bit and said, I like the environment in Cleveland. It's good for me. You know, he knows that they had a lot of confidence in him because they drafted him so high. Maybe he thinks this is the best spot for him. Now, I think he'd have to be unbelievable. Something would have to go wrong with Dustin Hopkins for Cade York to be the guy heading into week one. But there is that chance that he can revive his career here. And there's guys in the building that he knows have always believed in him. And that probably means something to him.
I think it's really interesting because long term, which guy do you want? Well, you want the young guy, you know, and forget everything with Cade York. You want to have your own Justin Tucker is what you're looking for. If, you know, Brandon Aubrey goes nuts in Dallas last year, they think they have a guy for a decade. But if Brandon Aubrey goes out and misses kicks like crazy this year, no, you're going to go find somebody else. And as good as Dustin Hopkins was last year, it's almost like a closer in baseball, Scott. You know, hey, great. Oh, you lost it. Oh, boy. All right, we need another one. And so I kind of understand it, but if I'm Cade York, man, I would have thought I'd have gone to someplace else.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And like, it makes some sense from the Browns' perspective. You know, it's a young guy, huge leg, a lot of potential still with Cade York. He's got to get his head right, right? That's obviously a big part of every kicker is you have to be in the right headspace. You have to have the confidence when you get out there. You know, last year in training camp, it's like he didn't miss a kick, and then he'd get into the games and would miss. So something happens there. And, you know, I'm sure he's working with sports psychologists, and they have to figure it out. And you're right. Dustin Hopkins has had injuries the last couple of years. He's getting older. You need that alternative. Now, you know, if he had one kick in week one, I would trust Dustin Hopkins ahead of Cade York.
Yep.
But that dynamic could shift. You know, the coming back here, there's good memories and bad memories for Cade. So, you know, I am interested to talk to him for the first time and see why he wanted the reboot. Maybe he feels like he's got something to prove to Cleveland and the Browns.
I normally would never argue with you guys, but both of you guys both said that, you know, you got the young leg, but when you go back and look at the greatest kickers in this game, they all kicked like 20 years in the league. Yeah. With age, yeah, you may have a great leg when you're young, but it's almost like you want the consistency and I don't want to have to worry about the kicker feeling. Maybe that's why the greatest kickers kick for 20 plus years. The other thing, we're spending way too much time talking about the kickers. So that's the reality of it.
No, you're right. But last thing is, it's Dustin Hopkins isn't Justin Tucker, right?
No,
he had
true.
That kind of year last year, but he hasn't had that career. So, you know, was that lightning in a bottle, or is he going to now turn into a guy that never misses from 50 yards?
Fair enough.
There you go. Tell me if we should take anything more than just adding depth with the signing of Tyler Huntley and with Deontay Foreman. And does one carry any more significance than the other?
We have to look at them separate, right? So with Huntley, I think there's two things. I think it's depth for the offseason, right? We don't know when Deshaun Watson is going to be 100%. The Browns want to be really careful with him in this rehab, during OTAs, during minicamp. So you need that other arm, and he's a valuable arm. We know how important that depth at that position is. It was proved to us, again, beaten over the head with it last year, right? But then the question is Huntley a real competitor to Dorian Thompson-Robinson for, let's assume Watson's healthy, we assume Winston's healthy. Is there competition between Huntley and DTR? And I think that's a legitimate question. I don't think Kevin Stefanski wanted to go there at the breakfast this morning at the owners' meetings. But would I be stunned if they kept Huntley instead of DTR? I would not. You know, DTR did not blow me away last year, and I think there's flaws in his game that, you know, I don't know if time figures all that out, right? So I think there's a legitimate chance that Huntley makes this roster. With Foreman, it's all about the uncertainty with Nick Chubb. And we just don't know when he'll be back. I think it's a pipe dream. That might be too strong. But I think it's really optimistic to think he'll be ready to go week one. So you have to have a plan for however many games it is. Is it one? Is it four? Is it eight? Where you don't have Nick Chubb or you don't have Nick Chubb at 100%. And you got Jerome Ford. You got Pierre Strong, who you saw a little bit from. You get Nyheim Hines, who I really like, but he's coming off a torn ACL as well. Didn't play at all last year. You need more bodies there. And Foreman, to me, is a good substitute for a good replacement for Kareem Hunt. Big body, should be good at the goal line, should be good in short yardage. And then if you see, okay, let's say Hines is healthy. Forget about Chubb for right now. You got Ford, Hines, Foreman, and Strong. I think you can do something with those guys. Maybe you draft a guy in the mid to late rounds. And then you have your group. And then whatever Nick Chubb gives you, whenever he gives it to you, is a bonus.
I'm interested in this story about the Welsh rugby star. Is it Luis or Lewis Reece Zammit? Is this guy there?
Zammit.
Yeah, they're bringing it to be a running back. Do you know anything about him? Just sniffing around the story. I think it's interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, he's a famous – I mean, I don't know anything about rugby.
Right.
But he's a famous rugby player. Decided at a young age, I think he's 24, to try out for the NFL. He worked out in Florida last week, 31 teams there. He visited the Browns after the workout in Florida. He's got other visits set up across the league. You know, and the league has these spots on rosters for international guys. So a team can sign him. He's not taking one of the 53 spots. They keep expanding that where you can bring him up from the practice squad, an international guy up from the practice squad a couple times a year and if you need to play him. So, you know, it's good. It's trying to expand the width of the game. It gives these guys a shot. But it's interesting. You know, he's worked out as a running back, receiver, returner. You know, there's some skills that overlap from rugby to the NFL. We'll see if he sticks, but it's certainly an interesting story. And we know that the Browns will look anywhere for any kind of talent, right? We saw it with when they worked out, I think it was Aaron Lynch. Guy had been retired for a couple of years at the end. He's 30, but they had him in for a workout because they were look anywhere to try to find some talent.
It's interesting, Scott, and when we were talking about it before the show, Menigan made the comment to me that I needed to get out more, and he might be right. I looked at rugby video of that kid from like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It's clear. It's like, well, there's a running back, you know, and it was in rugby, you know, you pitch, and then all of a sudden the guy goes around the end. This guy was phenomenal. And I thought, well, this will be fun to see. And so that I'm anxious to see what it might turn into. But if there's one sport that most closely translates on an international level to American football, I would think it's some of this rugby stuff. And I'm anxious to see if it leads to anything where guys other than, you know, punters end up coming over from rugby or whatever. We'll see.
Sure, right. I mean, right. There's those skills that you would think would translate. We know the guys are tough as nails, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To play rugby, it's about can you pick up the nuances fast enough and do you have that burst, right? The quickness, if you're running back, to hit that hole and explode through it, right? Because you're not going to, you know, you don't keep your legs moving for 20 seconds, they whistle the play dead. So you have to have that burst to get through the line. But, you know, who knows? As a returner, you know, you're open in space. You know, with the new kickoff rule that's probably going to get passed, how does that change it? It's certainly an interesting kind of thought exercise.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com. Covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Baltimore reports the NFL has approved a change to its challenge rules. A team now gets a third challenge if one of their earlier two challenges were successful. So you only got the third if both your challenge was successful. Now you will get the third if only one of your challenges is successful.
What do they tinker with this game? And I guess that's not a bad thing. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coming up at noon, Tom Withers from the Associated Press is going to join us. Big moves for the Guardians. At least as big a move as you can make with players who haven't established themselves yet in the major leagues.
I thought they made some bold moves. I'm okay with what they did for them.
Well, we're going to get into it coming up with Tom.
The De Los Santos one was the super interesting one. I don't know why I was mesmerized by that move.
By not keeping him?
Yeah,
and going,
by not keeping him.
He goes back to Arizona?
Yeah, I think that it was almost the whole, what, let's weigh this thing out and say, I think if they could, they would have taken him on the roster to start the season if they had to do it there. But not
if he were a pitcher, they would have.
Yeah, but not having the option to send him back to Columbus,
yeah,
and thinking that he had to be on the roster. I kind of like the Rule 5, just the Rule 5 in general, because I love the pressure it puts on these clubs to make somebody who's at AA to, you know, in this situation at AA, to force him to be on the big league roster for the entire season. I kind of like that.
We'll talk with Tom about that. We'll get into it as well. Rule changes at the NFL owners' meetings. Now, there's a reason that the networks all hire former officials. And anytime something comes up in a game, Gene, what'd you think on that one? And I don't think that's a bad thing. You want to get it right. But it's so convoluted and complicated now, Andy. You need these rules guys.
Before we even get into that, how good is Gene Steratore? Like, he's doing basketball. He's doing football.
Well, Gene was a basketball ref,
he
was an NFL ref.
Yeah, I just
his son, by the way, was working the MAC tournament.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
Gene's from Youngstown.
Don't you think that, like, I watch him do all these games, and I'm like,
yeah,
wow, man, he is really, really good.
Yeah,
and he's watching multiple games at one time,
and he's making more money doing TV than he did as an official.
Oh, that's true.
Yay.
Too.
He is. At least I'm assuming.
I just think he's really, really good.
Yeah, he does a really nice job. But that's why these guys are employed, because the NFL keeps changing rules like crazy. The hip drop tackle has now been outlawed. And again, there was some defensive player in the NFL over the weekend I read. He said, what the heck is the hip drop tackle? These guys are just trying to tackle guys. Some guys probably used it as a technique. Other guys are just trying to get guys down to the ground. But Dan, it's out.
All right, so here is the hip drop tackle part of this. We are up to three rule changes. This is one of the three rule changes. We will do the best we can to try to explain this, so then that way when the season rolls around, you can explain it to whoever you're watching it to, and hopefully they can understand it as well and won't look at you completely confused.
Okay.
So, the hip drop tackle.
Yeah, get ready.
Is a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. All right, Jeff, do this on Andy. Grab the runner.
Do you think he's going to be able to tackle me? Come on, man.
Well, maybe with this he will.
No
Grab
way.
The runner with both hands or wrap the runner with both arms and unweight himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. One more time. Unweighs himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee.
Andy, you said earlier that it was like a big-time wrestling move.
Yeah,
like
I don't know. Does that sound right?
No, I think you're right.
Okay.
But isn't that what leverage is all about, and isn't that part of tackling?
That's what I always thought it was, too. I don't know. Between this and not being able to block the base and baseball, but it's all going to be flag baseball, flag football before you know.
No, all right, so this is out. You don't want to see guys get injured. And I understand if you're dropping and, you know, let's just say you've wrapped up some guy and you're behind him and you've wrapped him up around his waist and your hands are on his stomach.
Right.
And I
have a solution for
you're going to fall on his legs. And that did lead to some pretty bad ankle injuries for some pretty key guys. I get that, except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tackle. Right?
Yeah,
isn't it a tackle?
Here's what I think. I think the onus.
It's not like it just came about.
The onus on this has to go, excuse me, and not like they don't have enough stuff going on, is on the officiating to blow the whistle quick enough that once forward progress is over, that you don't get into that position, right?
Although it's a fast move.
So you may have, for lack of better terms, premature whistles. Because the referees are trying. I know you're laughing at what I'm saying, but that's not what I'm getting at. I just think
they have pills for that now, Andy.
Yes, they do. Or mints. I see these mints all the time.
Let's not get fired.
Let's
avoid getting fired today.
Oh, that's okay. We run commercials for. I think that the responsibility is going to lie on the officials, and we're going to get a lot of quick whistles. So that once forward progress is done, you don't have to be in the position to make the tackle like you did before.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make more sense? And by the way, I mean, because referees are human, they are going to, I would think, they will blow the whistle faster than they were before. But it does, in a lot of ways, looks like a tackle.
Well, it is a tackle.
Yeah, I just don't.
It's just that it's instead of, you know, hitting the guy around the shoulders or around the waist and driving him down to the ground, you're pulling him down to the ground, basically.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And the only way you can pull
a
guy to the ground is for your weight to go down to the ground. Regardless, we can sit here and talk about it all day long. It's done.
I mean,
you can't do it anymore.
If a linebacker is already falling and they're trying to drag a player to the ground, that's a tackle. They're going to have trouble.
I think they are, too.
Yeah,
You're going to get called for this when it wasn't your intent at all.
I'm watching the Mark Andrews injury, right? And that's where he got hurt.
That's the big one everybody's pointing
to. I don't know. To me, that kind of looks like a tackle.
Looks like a tackle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to run into this. It's going to be a judgment call by referees.
And it's going to get ugly.
It's going to get ugly. All right. So the other one that came through is if you make a challenge, you used to have to get two challenges correct before you get a third. Now, thanks to this rule change, you now only have to get one challenge correct, and you will gain a third challenge. So, fine.
Except for one thing.
Make the game longer.
There it is.
That's my problem.
That's exactly it.
You know what? Ratings are up. What's the difference? If it's a close game, people want to watch
it. It's a longer television product. It just means bigger ratings, Andy, right?
And more commercials.
Let's be honest. The only thing people are watching are live, I don't know the outcome events.
And streaming stuff.
And streaming, yeah. Like, oh, all right, I'm going to watch this. Okay.
All right. I'm okay with that. I want things to be done right, you know. You want to get the calls right. I just wonder, Andy, if we ever get to the point where there are no challenges and every play is just...
challenged, like college.
Yeah.
It's all reviewed, and then they'll buzz down when there's an issue.
Yeah. That might be the way to go.
In some ways, though, I think that is the ultimate way to slow things down. If they start,
it can be.
If you get a buzzer-happy replay official.
Can be.
All right, and now I'm about to put a whole bunch of words together that I don't totally understand.
Okay. Oh, good. That's even better.
I'm reading this verbatim from the NFL communications. Okay? By competition committee amends Rule 14, Section 5, Article 2 to allow for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams.
Something they actually put out?
Uh-huh. That is the exact wording that was emailed to everybody from the NFL. I will read it one more time. By competition committee amends Rule 14, Section 5, Article 2. To allow for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to the change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams. Okay. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what you just said.
That is a lot
of words. And I'm dumber for it.
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
That is a lot of words.
I don't understand that either.
The Eagles' proposed 4th-and-20 alternate to the onside kick did not pass.
Oh!
So the onside kick lives.
Yes!
It lives.
At least for now. Clark's in Cleveland. Hi, Clark.
Clark!
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Great. Good. Thank you.
Hey, so real quick, you know, when I first heard about that rule, you know, it was kind of an argument between some of the ex-players on one of the NFL channels.
Which and, rule? You know, one Clark, of them the hip drop?
The hip drop.
Okay.
They were arguing about it. One of them saying, hey, it's a tackle. What are you going to do? Let him run forever. The other guy understood. I took the guy who was saying, it's not a problem, you know. But after watching it a couple of times, I see what they're saying. I liken it to, like, if you ever watch, like, rodeo, not that we do, but we've all seen it.
I do. I love rodeo. Are you kidding? I used to cover rodeo all the time.
Grabbing a steer?
Okay.
Nothing more fun than watching the kids come out for the mutton chase. That's the best.
Where they're, I think it's more like tackling the calves or whatever, where they jump off the horse.
Steer wrestling?
And they maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But where they jump off and they kind of grab it from behind and they swing, it's not just dropping your weight. It's throwing your weight in the opposite direction of the runner. And pulling down. And I kind of got it once I saw it, you know, because it's really, I think when you guys read it, they talked about the swiveling of the hips.
Yeah.
And that's the part, it's that swinging. You're not just pulling the guy down. You're throwing your weight in the most opposite direction you can by swinging yourself around him and getting your weight going in the opposite direction. I think that's going to be a key part. I'm interested to see how they'll judge it how they'll call it, because that to me is a key significance right there. It doesn't say you can't really tackle them from behind that way, but I caught the swiveling. I think the swivel of the hips is going to be important. So, you know, we're going to have to watch some old Elvis Presley movies as well.
We'll call it.
I was thinking the same
instead
thing.
We should just call it the Chubbs, right?
Yeah.
It's all in the hips. You know? It's all in the hips.
Yeah. Watch those hips.
Shakira.
All right, Clark, thank you very much.
All right, on our X page at CLE Talking Heads, Tom Pelissero put out the video that they showed to everybody at the press conference announcing these. Yeah. We have retweeted the video at CLE Talking Heads.
Good job, man.
You can watch this, and this will help to show you what exactly a hip drop tackle is that they're trying to get rid of. So we will have a baseline of, like, here's what the NFL believes that this is, and hopefully the officials understand it the same way.
It's what we described, basically, though, right? What Clark described as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's go with that, shall we?
We shall.
Watch the video. Tom Withers is going to join us coming up at noon. We're going to talk to Tom. I'm sure we'll get some Browns thoughts, but some Guardians thoughts as well from Tom. Did you watch some of the NCAA tournament? I've watched some. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fun. And I wonder about college basketball, if you want to know the truth.
Really?
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, okay. Let's get into it next on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin.
Hi.
Hody's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. And as always, Dan Menigan is our pilot.
Yes.
I was waiting for Dan to say something snarky.
Right into the ditch.
There it is. Thank you very much. We're going to talk to Tom Withers, Associated Press, coming up at noon. We're going to get into some Guardians talk and a couple of other things coming up later in the show. But the NCAA tournament going strong, Andy. Here you go. You've gone through it. It's terrific. I'm disappointed the Akron Zips had a tough go against Creighton. And they had a 17-point loss. I was disappointed that Duquesne had a tough second-round game, former Akron coach Keith Dambrot. I was not disappointed in Charles Barkley last night. Grand Canyon played Alabama. And Grand Canyon, you might know mostly because they advertise like crazy on TV. Apparently,
oh yeah, they do, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, you can get a degree by buying a box of cereal and ripping off the box top and sending it in. Apparently, at Grand Canyon College.
Wow, hang on, you want to see how much it costs to go there?
No, it'd probably frighten me. But Grand Canyon College was playing the heck out of Alabama. It seemed really competitive, really feisty. Blah blah blah. 10-0 run, I believe it was, by Alabama to win by 11 at the end. And then CBS, or was TNT, I forget exactly which one of the 14 CBS networks were carrying that game, but they went to Ernie Johnson, Cleveland native Clark Kellogg, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley at the end of the game, and, you know, did their little post-game thing there, which is always entertaining. And Clark, who is such a gentleman and very professional, Clark made the first comment after the game and called it a very competitive game, kind of a slug it out kind of game and battling back and forth. And then they went to Charles, and Charles said, Grand Canyon College, Grand Canyon University, whatever it's called, he said, that was the stupidest basketball game I've ever seen a team play. He said they were stupid. And he kept going, and I'm thinking, Chuck, not NBA guys, they're college kids.
I think I just applied to Grand Canyon.
Even though,
the way, just so you know.
By just going online, you clicked on something by accident.
But it won't give you the price.
Check your credit card.
I went try to get a price for it. It wouldn't let me do it.
But all of a sudden, you're majoring in botany.
I never went to a school that wore purple. Oh, no, I went for business analytics so I could hang with Menigan. It said you had to pick a major, and then you had to pick a field.
Chuck goes, they're stupid. Said every time they went down the floor, somebody's going one-on-one. They didn't pass. And Clark, who had been nice, is just sitting there nodding his head. He goes, well, yeah, Charles, you're kind of right on that. And Ernie said, Chuck, they had 5 assists. Chuck said, really? All game, 5 assists. Stupid. He said, I don't know what that coach was thinking. You're good. I was like, this is priceless.
Too funny.
That said, the tournament's really fun. I've always enjoyed it. It's a cool thing. But I wonder about college basketball, Andy, and I wonder, does NIL save it, or does NIL take it right down the commode? And I don't know the answer to that. You know, I the one and done I thought was not a good thing for college basketball. Maybe the NIL gets rid of the one and done. Maybe guys stay a while. If you're not a first-round draft choice in the NBA, you don't get guaranteed.
No, I'd stay in college contract. As long as you can.
I think I would, too.
If
they told me I was a second-round pick, I'm not coming out.
No.
I'm going to stay, and I'm going to go get an NIL deal.
I'm not trying to take you off the beaten path, but I was at a long conversation yesterday with a really good friend of mine, and we were at the state high school championships. And we were talking about, with NIL in college and the way college is going and transfer portal and not getting to know some of the players. I mean, it's been tough to know some of the college players anyway because the good ones are out quick.
I've always thought now you used to be able to root for a team.
Right.
And I'm going to take you too far back. Like Phi Slamma Jamma.
Okay, Houston.
The Houston Cougars back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Hakeem, who was known as Hakeem at the time. You had Clyde Drexler. You had Reed Geddes. You had guys who were going, you were following for a number of years. Not a whole lot because, you know, it's only, you know, 2, 3, 4. But now you just root for a school because the players change every year.
Absolutely. So the question came into play about the future of, and please hang with me for a second here, the future of high school athletics. Because as long as NIL isn't in on that and isn't as deep as we think is, although NIL is in on it, it's just a matter of I wonder how it's going to blow up and if it's going to end up being the same. And yes, you know, there's transferring all the time now in high school, which was really irritating. And I was not that I should be reading social media, but I was seeing a lot of that yesterday too. But is high school the purest form now of amateurism? When it comes to, if you're not into the gambling and you're not into the NIL part of it for the most part, and you're not into the transfer part of it for the most part, I do understand there's transferring going on. That is high school basketball become like the purest form of the game. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand completely what you're saying, and I have a hard time arguing with it.
Yeah, and so then you wonder what the appetite is going to be like for sports fans that would rather watch a high school game than a college game or a pro game. Because it's so, like, you know, with the pro game, we sit here and we talk about, you know, scripted days off and what is it? Why do I always forget that?
Load management.
You know, we talk about that. And then in college, we're talking about all the other stuff. And, you know, we were kind of just shooting the breeze about while we were watching these high school games, which, by the way, you know, lot of irritation about people, you know, talking about recruiting and, you know, like even I interviewed some of the kids after the game yesterday, like, well, you know, when I decided to come here as a junior and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and then you go back and look at social media, people are killing them. But that's not only public schools or in private schools, that's public schools now too. So I find it fascinating as we evolve between all the levels of basketball, you know, what is going to be the most appealing to people somewhere down the road. I know this might be like deep thought and maybe too heavy at 11:50 on a Monday after a rough weekend. But I found these.
You were up until 2.
Yeah, that's true. But I think some of these conversations are fascinating about where we go with the future of this thing. And then, you know, high school here is moving to 7 state championships away from 4. So there's
which
even
I
more
think
for
is
you.
Absurd. But
I don't know if it is or not. Here's the one thing I really like, okay? They're going to give schools the opportunity to jump into Division I no matter how many boys you have. So you take a team like Richmond Heights, which
what do you mean,
you have the opportunity.
If you want to play?
Yep.
And the first time an athletic director or a school board makes that decision and they take a team out of Division III and jump them up to Division I and they get knocked out in the quarterfinals, that guy gets fired.
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily true. Look, if you look at Richmond Heights, who I can easily argue – is the best team in the state right now. Lutheran East might have an argument on that too. But, you know, Richmond Heights is good, and they had a player that, you know, couldn't play this year who was could be the best player, one of the best players in the state, right? And they played an almost all D1 schedule and were really good. I love the thought of a school thinking, I've got the five best guys in the state, and I'm going to play the biggest schools in
what
the state.
What difference
to do
it. Does it make whether you win a D1 or a D6 state championship?
I'll tell you.
Please do.
Hoosiers.
Well, that was in the 1950s.
And I still think it's a great idea. I easily would have loved to have seen
Indiana,
the
fourth. Indiana thought it was such a great idea, they did away with that system.
Yeah, because they were scared of it. For the same reason you talked about, why people live. Like, would you? I would have loved to have seen all four state champions play another round. I would love it. Are you kidding?
Now, but that way you've
especially
already...
because these, like Lutheran East and Richmond Heights and St. Ignatius, I mean, they're all state champions, and they've all kind of played each other
so
this year.
So on the one hand, okay, we want more kids to get an opportunity to win a state championship, so let's make seven divisions. And if you don't want to play in D5, come on up to D1.
I don't see any problem with that at all. Why not? And as a coach?
That'll get somebody fired.
As a coach, I would want it. I would invite it. If I think my team is good enough.
Then why are we adding more divisions if we're telling guys they can move up and play against tougher competition?
What?
The idea of...
It's an opportunity of winning a state championship, that's all.
No, it's less of an opportunity of winning a state championship.
How is it less? You're adding three. What are you talking about?
No, that's more, but if you're moving up, that's less.
Not necessarily. If you have a team that can compete at the D1 level... Go for it.
Why would you go for it?
Because you think your team is good enough, and you think your team is truly the best team in
what
the state.
What does that mean?
I don't.
I'm not arguing with you. Tell me. What does that mean? You're adding more so that more guys can win a state championship. Why would you take the best opportunity to win a state championship away from your team?
Because you have something to prove. Because you think you might have the greatest team in Ohio basketball history.
That sounds like some coach beating on his chest, thinking, I'm going to coach the hell out of these boys are going to win. Watch these girls. They're going to kick some butt. That sounds like a great way to get fired.
Your tone is condescending to me, and I don't appreciate
it. Not to you. It's condescending to the OHSAA.
I think you're wrong. I don't have any problem with the state.
Dana, why would you move up? Dan is a high school coach. Why would you move up?
I zoned out through a chunk of this conversation.
Here's the difference, Dan. And listen, because he's a track coach, and numbers don't lie. This is why track is awesome, and I'm going to say why. Because
How fast were you?
That's right.
I like the fact that I could stand outside and get some sun.
Let's say you're a long jumper and you've gone 24, right?
Hey, Dan, you want to coach track? I have no idea what it's all about. You're in.
Yo, good job. I want you to start here. They're going to shoot a gun off, which is never a good idea around a high school. And then we're going to shoot this gun off, and then I want you to run down to the end where there's a tent and there's people standing down there, sometimes with stopwatches and not. But the thing about track that stands out is that, and I'm trying to think of other sports like this, that if you're division 1, 2, 3, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Correct.
If you're jumping 23 and that's the longest jump in the state that year, it doesn't matter what level you're at.
But they still do D1, D2, D3 track championships.
Let me roll my 8 D6 basketball players out on the floor and take on St. Ignatius. Great.
And you can win.
Nonetheless,
we saw that this year.
I've enjoyed the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Tom Withers, Associated Press, next on Baskin and Phelps.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.